Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 20. We haven't had chance to do it yet, but one of the things we always loved as a family was to go over here to Seaside and sit there by Casino Pier and just watch the waves coming in. Nice to see those waves and to be gentle as they come in. But sometimes the waves of the sea can turn up all kinds of muck and mire and go into all kinds of storms. And this verse talks about that. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20. But the wicked are like the storm-tossed sea, for it cannot be still, and its waters churn up mire and muck. There is no peace for the wicked, says my God. God says there's no peace for the wicked. Life is like a cord, someone says, like a line, you know, and a line of life, as it were. And we think about a line, and as you know, I like to do illusions. Don't call them the other word. Pastor doesn't like that word. We'll leave that one go. But as you think about it, we're going to do this one in the style of David Copperfield, if you would. Up in Rhode Island, where I last pastored, they like to go out and catch lobsters in the ocean. One of the things they do when they catch lobsters is to let long ropes down to the traps and pull up the traps and take the lobsters out. You know, when they go like this and try to wind it up, sometimes in the cold weather, that knot gets frozen. And what can happen? They can rip their hand pretty badly and cause all kinds of grief. You know, we think about that, and here's a rope that has a knot in it. Storms are like a knot, aren't they? They get into our life and they gum things up. They make a lot of mire. They make a lot of muck. And you know, well, we got a problem, don't we, with the rope? It's not quite equal, so we better adjust that a little bit. We'll take off. That's good. We took off a little, right? And it, well, this is not working out too well. The muck and mire has really gotten into this rope as I think about it. And yet, remember, when God created man, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And God made man a living soul. That's where we can take the knots out and put it all back together, as it were. Life is like a line, as it were. Life can be filled sometimes with storms. Operation Mobilization was a tremendous ministry that went on for many, many years. And before midnight on January 4th, 1988, their missionary ship, Logos, had run aground in Argentina, the southernmost city of the world, and passing through the Beagle Channel toward the open seas to the South Atlantic. It had all kinds of problems. That jolt, accompanied by harsh, scraping noises, sent all the missionary volunteers and all that went with them flying in all directions. Moment later came the order, "Don't panic, put on your life jackets." 141 men, women, children had prepared for the weekly drill, and now they donned warm clothing, life jackets, and reported to the dining room area, and at first the captain hoped the rising tide would release the ship, but it had a 20-degree list, and that was causing all kinds of concern. The order was given at 5:10 to abandon ship. Probably the worst order that would ever come, abandon ship, to give up. At 5:30 a.m., the Chilean Navy rescued the crew and staff from the Logos lifeboats. In 17 years of ministry, Logos had visited 432 ports in 107 countries. They brought literature about the Lord Jesus Christ to many of these ports of call. Logos was not the first vessel to try to ferry God's own and take them on their journeys. We depend upon the Lord to take care of us. And, whoops. We're out. Whoop, got to go a little further. Okay, we're almost there. We got it. We can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the strength of our life. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ battled the storm. The first time they were out in a storm, Jesus was with them there in the boat. You know what he did? He fell asleep. Jesus was asleep on a pillow. They had to wake him up, and they said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" And he rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And it was still. God is able to do great miracles. He did a great miracle on that occasion, and his miracles are still able to be done today. The tempest tossed the vessel like a cork in the incident that we're going to look at tonight. And as we're reminded of it, the scripture reminds us all the way through that storms come into our life. You remember the ancient man Job? Job chapter 1 describes the time when the children of God, the angels as it were, came before God himself, and yet also Satan came among them. Here in Job chapter 1, Job had prayed for his children day by day, had really been concerned for them. While he was speaking, another messenger came and reported, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Suddenly a powerful wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on the young people so that they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you." What a sad matter of affairs this was. How many children did Job have? You remember? 10 children. And all 10 children were taken in just a matter of moments. A powerful wind had come. Satan brings all kinds of calamities into our life. And what happened to these children? They all died. Every single one of them was gone. But what did Job do about it all? He sat there, mourned, he grieved, but he did one thing that stood out. What did he do? He worshiped God. He worshiped God. And notice the words that he uses here. Job stood up, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and worshiped, saying, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Praise the name of Yahweh." Praise the name of Yahweh. Could you say praise to God? Although one of your members of your family dies, we find that great grief comes into our life when that happens to us. And yet, Job was able to worship God, to thank God, even when that kind of calamity would come. We think about the wonder of abandoning ship and how there is the silence. The Lord is able to silence the waves that roar. He's able to silence the wind. God can still the raging sea. He holds back the waves, and these waves are then hushed. He can take away all of the sound, all of the calamity that comes into our life. The Lord can bring us through the storm. He hasn't always promised that life is going to be without storms, but He's promised He's going to be with us in spite of the storm. He's going to be our help. He's going to be our hope as we depend upon Him. Satan brings calamities into our life, and then sometimes it comes into our life because of the stubbornness of others. Look with me at Acts chapter 27, Paul's shipwreck. Acts chapter 27. And verse 20. Acts 27 and verse 20. For many days neither sun nor stars appeared. Sailors still use a lot of times the stars to guide them along. And the severe storm kept raging. Finally, all hope that we would be saved was disappearing. All hope was lost. It was a hopeless situation. Down in verse 25, pick it up again. Therefore, take courage, men, because I believe God, it will be just the way that it was told to me, that God would save them. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Sometimes because of the stubbornness of others, a severe storm comes into our life, and the raging of the wind, the raging of the sea can bring all kinds of havoc. But Paul said, take courage. I believe God. God told him He was going to spare them all. And he believed God. He believed God was going to take care of them even in spite of the storm. They would run aground on a certain island. How sad it is to be caught in a shipwreck, to be out there in the water and struggling for our life. Sometimes the stubbornness of others brings us into trials. And then we think about not only the stubbornness of others, but even our own foolishness gets us into trouble. In the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1, verse 13. If you can find Jonah, Micah, Nahum, then you got there pretty quickly. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not because the sea was raging them against them more and more. The sea indeed was raging against them more and more. We think about the wind that comes with a storm, not only the rain, but the wind itself. They wanted to try to get rid of the problems of the storm, and they thought it was Jonah. So they threw him into the sea. And yet they feared God, and they began to make vows before God if God would somehow take care of them. Was God able to take care of even his prophet, who had wandered from him, who went off to the sea hoping he would go in another direction instead of to Nineveh? God wanted Jonah to go preach to Nineveh and to call them to repent and turn to God. And yet he went the other way. Our own foolishness can lead us into storms. The stubbornness of others can lead us into storms. Satan can lead us into the storms of life. You remember this fellow in the New Testament record that Jesus talked about, the prodigal son. He was in the pig pen because of his own waywardness. because he wanted that which he could have for himself. He spent all that he had, and he had nothing left. There he was, wishing he could eat the corn that was being thrown out to the pigs. Here the prodigal son was there in a very difficult situation. The storm was not of the disciples' making. They didn't make the storm. The storm came against them. The storm brought all kinds of calamity. Where was Jesus when this storm came about? In Matthew chapter 14, we note in verses 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 14, and beginning at verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to what? Pray. Jesus wanted solitude. He wanted quietness. He wanted time with his heavenly Father to pray. Sometimes we wonder, you know, have we done bad? My mom used to say when we were youngsters, we would try to hide from her when a storm came. And she said, one of you has done bad. One of you has done bad. Who is it? Who is it? She thought, well, calamities come because of the problems of children, the actions of children, the foolish things that we do. You know, it isn't always that way. The Lord allows for certain things in our life according to His appointment, His appointed time. The Lord allows maybe a problem of health, a problem of a job, the problem of finances, the problem of depression, the problem of discouragement, all because of many times our own desires that go awry, the wrong way. But a storm is often divinely appointed. God allows for storms in our life. Yes, they can come by Satan. Yes, they can come by the stubbornness of others. They can come by our own foolishness. But often storms are divinely appointed. God has something to teach. God has something to show. And then the disciples were not forgotten by the Lord. There they were out on the sea, trying to get along there. And Jesus was not with them. He made them notice. Get into the boat. Jesus made them get into the boat. He almost had to force them to leave that time there. But he went up into a mountain to pray. Now the disciples weren't with the Lord Jesus Christ immediately. But was Christ far from them? No. He was able to see them. He was God. They were starting to learn that. You remember on the previous occasion when he stilled the wind and the waves and quieted them, they said, is this not God? Is this not God? The disciples began to question whether this was truly God who had indeed come. Now Jesus was going to do something far different. He was going to walk out on the wave and meet them at 3 a.m. in the morning. Can you imagine the picture here? Here in the midst of the storm, everything is howling round about them. The waves are beating around them. They don't know what to do. They feel totally lost. Jesus was up on the mountain praying, but then all of a sudden, they see Jesus walking on the water. What did they think this was? A ghost. They thought sure a ghost had come to them. But it was Jesus above all, reminding them that he indeed does take care of his own. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And reading at verse 5. Your life should be free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Lord never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Sometimes we feel like we're all alone, but He has promised, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Again, when we were youngsters, my mom would always try to find us. We were hiding from her in the midst of sometimes a storm, and she'd say, I can't see you, but God sees you. God knows where you are, and God can find you, even though I can't. You know, there's a wonderful verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and at verse 9. Listen to this verse in particular. 2 Chronicles 16 and reading at verse 9. The eyes of Yahweh roam throughout all the earth to show Himself strong for those whose heart is completely His. He shows Himself strong for those whose heart belongs to Him. The question is, does your heart belong to the Lord Himself? Does your heart depend upon Him? What a joy it is to know that the Lord is there with us, even in trouble. Did Peter learn this lesson well? I think he did, because not only were the disciples not forgotten by the Lord, but later you remember when Peter was about ready to face execution, an angel of the Lord was sent to bring him out of the prison. But where did he find Peter? Sound asleep. And he had to smack him on the side. He smote him on the side, it says, to try to wake him up. Peter was sound asleep, even though he was awaiting perhaps execution the next day. You remember the angel then was able to lead him out and bring him to a prayer meeting where the people were praying. They didn't even want to open the door. How could they believe that this was really Peter there at the door? But God had sent His angel, and God's angel was indeed there protecting, watching over him. The Lord has promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you. How often? Always, always. The Lord did not provide help immediately to the disciples. At 3 a.m., they saw Him coming out on the water and walking on the water. What a surprise this was. And they thought, indeed, this was a ghost. Jesus was walking on the water. To believe God, to trust God in the midst of that situation. They were filled with fear because they thought it was a ghost. But it was Jesus Himself who was right there with them as He promised. He would never leave them. He would never forsake them. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Are you diligent to really seek the Lord, to really depend on the Lord when even trouble comes? Peter found out the hard way. Peter wanted to walk on the water with the Lord. And what happened to Peter? He began to sink. He had to say, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached out His hand and was able to pull him back up on the wave. The Lord walked on the wave. Peter walked on the wave. Jesus was able to say, peace, be still. And the sea stopped all of its raging, all of the calamity. And He brought that joy to the disciples' heart. How wonderful it was. And then it tells us in the scripture that they came to the very place that they were sailing to. The Lord gives us direction in life. You know, sometimes people come with all kinds of problems. You remember the Samaritan woman? She was married about, or united at least, with five different individuals. And yet the one that you have now, Jesus said, is not your husband. He knew all about her. He knew all about her heart. And notice in John chapter 4 and at verse 10. John chapter 4 and verse 10. Here, as Jesus spoke to this Samaritan woman, Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him and he would give you" what? "Living water." Jesus gave her water, as the little song says, that was not from the well. He would give you living water. Jesus Christ is indeed the water of life. And later on, notice at verse 29, she began to tell the others of the city. Verse 29, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the very one who has been promised?" Immediately, she became an evangelist to her own people, to other Samaritans, to bring them to find the Lord Jesus Christ and to find the hope that indeed was in him. Could this not be the Messiah? And then again, there is the wonder in the scripture of that thief there upon Calvary's cross. There was next to the Calvary's cross, next to the Lord Jesus Christ, a repentant thief who said, "We truly have done evil things, and we're going to be punished for the evil things." And he asked Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what did Jesus tell that repentant thief? "Today you will be with me" where? "In paradise." You're going to be with me in heaven. What a joy, what a hope that person could have in the Lord Jesus Christ, simply because he believed, simply because he trusted in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, his very Savior. What a joy it is to really depend upon him and know that his words can be counted upon. And then you remember the Philippian jailer. He was told by Paul and Silas, "Don't harm yourself. We are all" what? "Here." We're all here. Nobody has escaped. The punishment for a soldier in those days would have been death for losing all the prisoners. He says, "We're all here. Don't harm yourself." And what a joy it was. He would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And he was baptized with his whole house. It tells us here in Acts chapter 16, he took them, he fed them, he placed food before them, he washed them, and then he was able to believe in the Lord with his entire household. What a joy must have been in that household that day to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, to trust in him. The Lord is able to take care of us in spite of all the troubles that come into our life. And then the fear was dispelled from the disciples. Look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. The last book in the Bible, as we have it. In Revelation, Jesus appears before John and he tells him, "Fear not." Revelation 1, and noting at verse 17. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He laid his right hand on me and said, 'Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last.'" Don't be afraid. How often Jesus used those very words with his disciples. You remember, after he rose from the dead, he appeared before them, and they were frightened at that time. But he said again, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last." Jesus is the beginning, the Alpha, as it says in the Greek alphabet, and the Omega. The first letter, the last letter, and everything in between. One of the joys I had when I first learned the Greek was to understand those words that way. The first letter is Alpha, the last letter is Omega, and Jesus is everything in between. Everything that can be made up of words comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, comes through the hope that we have in him. We heard the story before of the Statue of Liberty in the harbor. We think of the lighthouse that stands in the harbor and guides the ships through the storm. We think of, again, the Lord taking care of us. One of the great joys we had many years ago was to go up to Mystic, Connecticut. And there's a seashore town up there. In Psalm 107, these very words were recorded and played back when you used to walk through Mystic Seaport, and you heard them there on the loudspeaker system in this one area in particular. Notice here, this is Psalm 107, and beginning at verse 25. He spoke and raised the tempest and stirred up the waves of the sea, rising up to the sky, sinking down to the depths, their courage melting away in anguish. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and all their skill was useless. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a murmur, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They rejoiced when the waves grew quiet. Then he guided them to the harbor they longed for. The God of old, the God of old is our dwelling place. He's the one who is our refuge. He is the one that we need to indeed run to in the time of trouble, in the midst of the storms that come into our life. The Lord says he is our refuge from the rain, from the flood, from the wind that comes. I think of the story that's told of some Finnish troops, Finnish soldiers from Finland, who were watching over some Russian prisoners. And these Russian prisoners were there to be guarded and watched over and not to escape. And so they were chosen to watch over them. And they watched these men rant and rave and cry out for their families and their children, and yet no one was coming to their aid. And here as they were, suddenly one of the men, Koskinen, he said these words in an old hymn, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels, born in a song to me, over the fields of glory, over the Jasper Sea." You know, they began to say, "Well, you're mad, Koskinen. What are you doing singing those kind of words?" He said, "Well, I was to the Salvation Army a couple of weeks ago, and I heard those words, and I believed them. I trusted them. I want to go back and believe now in my mother's God. I want to trust my mother's God and depend upon him to take me even through this situation." You know, the troops that were there guarding these men had to take them out the next morning and shoot them, get rid of them. And yet, all of these men, when they went out, requested once more to sing that song. And they sang it out, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels, born in a song to me, over the fields of glory, over the Jasper Sea." The Lord can either calm your storm, or he can take the rage out of you and give you calmness and peace within. How wonderful it is that he does care for his own. And in the midst of the storm, he is there. He has promised he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the hope that is ours in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you move in a mysterious way, your wonders to perform. You plant your footsteps in the sea and ride upon the storm. Thank you that you know how to take us through the storms of life. You've not promised that we'll be without storms, but you've promised to take care of us in spite of the storms that come. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.